are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they you. Ain't giving get up a second down. Thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, regardless, you got it done, and we appreciate you for it. This weekend here in the Southeast, boy, I'm telling you, it's roasting. In fact, tomorrow's October, 90 degrees here again all week here in Atlanta. They're going to pass the record. The record is 90-something days, 91 or 92 days. They're already at 87 in the 90s. And so that's going to be realized. I think what needs to be looked at in terms of what's happening here in the Southeast, if this becomes a norm because of the issue of climate, that's something to be looked at. And damn it, I hope not. Man, I'm trying to turn this air off, man. Save me some money. But you got to have it. You got to have it. It's going to be 95 today. And a few more days in the 90s until this weekend. I think Saturday is in the 80s. You know, we'll see. We'll see what's happening. Yeah, it's tough. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast. Click on that. And right there will be African Perspectives. Click on that. And there will be programs that will be dated and titled. And whichever one that suits your fancy that you want to give a listen to. Or one that you heard you want to hear again. Whatever the case may be, we appreciate it. Believe me, we do. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Today's Monday, my program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. Right after this program, Brother Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix on Monday and Wednesday from 1 to 3. On Monday evenings, all times are going to give are Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black, 365 from 8 to 9. Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, guess what time that is?
You're right. It is. It's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You know it ain't me. You know it's Sister POC in her program, Revive, on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show. Monday through Fridays, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Check out the products they have. If you're fortunate enough, I don't know how fortunate that really is, to be in the Atlanta area and you can be near the Greenbrier Mall, or just if you're in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and check out the kiosk they have at the Greenbrier Mall. We Buy Black, so you can pick those products up directly. The laundry detergent, all the lotions, and all the good stuff that they have at WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Our good brother Bomani Tahimba, you can give him, Brother Bomani, a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of the previous tours, his last tour was this past May, and go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of the previous tours, please go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. The trip to South Africa is just a couple months away, November 22nd to December 2nd, going to Johannesburg and to Cape Town. And then at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, going back to Ghana, West Africa. So check out Brother Bomani for these trips, and you too can be on your way to the motherland. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta, and the shrine has everything you need. It has furniture, it has artwork, it has clothing, it has everything. It has the red, black, and green Nagash shoes. It has Kwanzaa kits. It has books. That's right, brothers and sisters. It has books. If they don't have the book that you are looking for, you can always let them know and they'll get it for you. The number to call at the shrine is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, open Wednesday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Also, too, they have a African Holocaust Museum located in the shrine. On Saturday, they have a class from 1:30 to 3:30, African history class, Know Thyself, 1:30 to 3:30, and it's every Saturday, and it's free and open to the public. But if you cannot make the class, but you want information, you can contact the shrine. They have now over 7 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal. The multimedia library, well over 15,000 video files, 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. I'm doing over because that's what they'd had when I got it. I have 4.5, so I'm lacking, you know. 2.5. I need my. I'm definitely going to do that. Contact Brother Baba Olatunji and get that downloaded and pay the rest of the costs. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you go to the Greenbrier Mall and you go to Let's Buy Black, right across from it is the Medu Bookstore. And they have books, cards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. And if they don't have the book you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. sending out much love to my good brother. Had a very good Black Dot Cultural Center Arts Festival this past weekend. I'm thankful to have been involved in the program. I really appreciate it tremendously. All kinds of good stuff and people. The restaurants that were available that are on Main Street in Lithonia, there were no other food vendors. They wanted you to buy from Green Love Kitchen, which is a vegan restaurant, Vaughn's Barbecue, the Skinny Chef, I'm not sure what their cuisine is, and the Le Bistro, Luxor Le Bistro and Lounge, and all the other vendors that were there. I mean, it was just a great time, I'm telling you. I was very impressed with the people who came up for the open mic. Very impressed with, too, Queen Vita, who was in attendance. She's from the central region in Ghana. And Sister made note that of the 2019, 400 years of return of the African diaspora to Ghana. They've said, I've read it, they set aside land. So if you want to give her a call, because she gave me her number, said people give her a call to see how you can take advantage of the land that is being offered. Give her a call at 404-453-1686. Queen Vita, 404-453-1686. Give her a call and find out how you can take advantage of the land that is being offered. Some of the entertainment that Brother Ajamu put together was really outstanding. Giwa Inmata was an outstanding group of sisters, four sisters that drum and dance. Beautiful, high energy. I'm serious. Love them. Oh, man. Giwa Inmata. Sister Okusawa, Mama Okusawa, she did two beautiful songs. Prophecy, young brother Prophecy. I've seen him around, him and his mom. Young brother Prophecy, taking pictures and so forth. And he's a rapper. Beautiful. Sister Rare Epiphany, man. That sister, she to me, I had to give her much love. She was cold with singing. She sings beautiful, and she flows into the rap piece real sweet, into the spoken word piece real sweet, and back, just Rare Epiphany. If you're in the Atlanta area, you hear that she's performing somewhere, believe me, it's worth whatever you're doing to stop and go check her out. It is worth it. And a special guest, a sister from Detroit, Michonne Young, beautiful voice. She rounded it out. So it was a great day. And I hope that next year the weather will be a little bit better because it's hot. People were searching out for shade, you know. But, hey, it is what it is. You still got a deal. And there was so many street festivals in this last month of September in the Atlanta area because the weather gets better, supposedly. It's supposed to be around 75, 80. But it's about 90, 95, you see. But it's supposed to be 75, 80. I'm hoping a hurricane comes. I can cut this air off, man. I'm trying to save some money. I'm on a fixed income. Yes, sir. Cafe Ulu, us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or family-centered economics, as we like to call it. Don't forget their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. The number to call to be a part of the broadcast, just to listen or to give some comment, is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Yesterday, I went to the banquet for WADU, World African Diaspora Union, along with other organizations and elders in our community. It was a good affair. I want to thank my sister and brother Tut for organizing and putting on the affair, and many of the the elders in our community that were in attendance, brothers and sisters in our community, the young drummers and so forth, and my opportunity to say a few words at the banquet of Awadu, World African Diasporan Union. Baba, Dr. J was there because he's a member of Awadu, and it's always good to see him looking good and strong at, 83, 85, something like that. I'm not sure. I know he's in his 80s and going strong. And hope he continues. Mother Swanson was there. And Mother Swanson worked with Dr. Clark. She helped Dr. Clark tremendously in his last year. So much love to Mother Swanson, who she's been living here for quite a while, you know. And, of course, I met the brother who was a speaker, Dr. Lee, good brother. I talked with him, like to have him on the program to talk about a few things. So that was a good piece. So I had a good weekend. I had a real good, and I hope you did, too. Had a good weekend. And I seen Baba Baruti. He was at the Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival. Him and his lovely wife, Yah, whose birthday it was, and continue to wish Sister Yah Baruti a happy born day. But you can really do something great by supporting Akabin Institute and with the work that Baba Baruti's doing. Akabin Institute. Send your check, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use PayPal or Cash App, put the dollar sign, YAHYAAM, the letter M, all lowercase, and then Baruti, BARUTI, and make your conscious donation to the forward flow of educating our young men and women to be warriors, not to be educated to, yeah, you know. Sister Gabby sent a text out about the help that she still needs. Of course she does. In the northeastern and rural area of Haiti, Sister Gabby and her organization, Sonjay-Haiti.org, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabby, Gabrielle Rero. Sonjay, Haiti, the great work she's doing educationally as well as providing food and growing food and chickens and all kinds of stuff, man, I'm telling you. When you go online, and if I'm wrong, rescue me if I'm wrong, okay? BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Go to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We're on Black Talk Radio Network, which is the largest Black Talk Radio, the number one Black Talk Radio podcast in this country, literally around the world. But we are seeking funds, Black Talk Radio Project Media Fund, the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. If you just go on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, you don't need to click on nothing else. Just scroll down on the right side. You'll see the donate button for the Black Talk Radio Network Media Fund. Give. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem. So, you know, to me, there's just such jewels. Very seldom do I skip over any day that I have missed. In fact, a couple of times I have been out of town for an extended period of time, and I would come back and just pick out the days that I missed and read those. In fact, one program I did that, the whole program was reading the Inye Sesem and then commenting on what Baba Baruti has, his narratives and his comments on the quotes that the various brothers and sisters have given. In fact, this one is Yah's quote, okay? And it was her birthday, which was this past Saturday. So it's apropos on that day that Sister Yah Baruti would have something to say. September 28th. My greatest desire for African children is that they become strong African men and women committed to Africa and committed to the African way. They marry strong African complements committed to the African way. and they be blessed with healthy children whom they raise in the African way. Ashe, 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 oh. Yeah, Barudi. While my parents focus on college and careers and or fame and fortune for their children, if our children do not commit to our re-Africanization and liberation, what have they truly gained? Of course, our children must find a way to financially survive in this European-dominated global economy, but their true success lies in being able to do so while building our nation. Affirm, I rear African children to build our nation. Affirm, I rear African children to build our nation. September 29th. Nations must reap what they sow. Drusilla Dungy Houston. If you have listened to this program, you know how affectionate I am about Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston and her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire, that she wrote in 1926, the same time that Dr. Carter G. Woodson established Negro History Week. And if you know, I have loved the quote that Drusilla Dungy Houston has about our leadership and lack of knowledge of us as a people. She said, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race dare not refute. So how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? That's deep, ain't it, y'all? I knew you would agree. Nations must reap what they sow. Drusilla Dungy Houston. We are dealing with a people who cannot live within constraints, moral or otherwise. A people who cannot be wrong. A people who cannot be hailed because they do not see themselves as truly sick. Or cannot be healed. Excuse me. A people who cannot be healed because they do not see themselves as truly sick. Or they do not see their sickness as curable. Insane people who know that they are insane and see their insanity as fundamental to their survival do not want to become sane. And the recognition that one is mentally ill, especially if repeatedly told by different socially and culturally unrelated people, must come from an internal awakening. For these people who do not know who they are, we cannot make them see themselves for what they are because they do not want to see themselves for what they are. Moreover, it wastes precious time we need to spend healing ourselves. They know that a public confession of who they really are would undermine all rationalizations for their privilege. Affirm, I issue no warnings to those who are irreparably insane. Affirm, I issue no warnings to those who are irreparably insane. September 30th. Armed with knowledge of our past, we can, with confidence, chart a course for our future. Culture is an indispensable weapon in the freedom struggle. We must take hold of it and forge the future with the past. Brother Omar Wali, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X. I've been told by Africans desperate to be identified as nothing other than American that they follow no tradition. That in itself is an insane statement because everything people do is based on tradition. Beyond raw instinct, tradition is the collection of logical, beneficial, acceptable habits internalized by a dynamic, thriving community intent on surviving and extending itself into the future. Culture provides the parameters of tradition. The cultural ceiling provides the parameters of culture. So even these traditions, which may seem new or odd in a particular society, somehow fall within the bounds of that people's cultural acele, or they will be suppressed or removed and lost from functionary memory. When you operate within someone else's tradition as if they were your own, you literally have no social decision-making power and are culturally barren. I'm going to read that again. When you operate within someone else's tradition as if they were your own, you literally have no social decision-making power and are culturally barren. Once again, brothers and sisters, this is theirs, not ours. Affirm, I have tradition and it empowers me. Affirm, I have tradition and it empowers me. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. So today I want to talk about the boule. I don't talk too much about us and how wrong we are. I know immediately following this program is Black Reality Think Tank. I'm sorry, Brother Franklin. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix for Brother Franklin Jones. And I know some may argue when they listen to his program, he's saying the same thing over and over again, but understand, you are bombarded 24/7, 365, over and over again with images and notions of your inferiority, your inability to function properly. So, given that unfortunate reality, this system is repetitive and redundant on purpose. And so what the brother is doing is trying to make us understand what we're infected by. Oh, I apologize. I did not. It's right in my face, too. I apologize. Brother Renoko Rashidi, who will be my guest this Wednesday. I hope you get a chance to listen to the program. But I told him I will promote his program, his tour, to three countries: Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau, January 21st through February 4th, 2020. He's going to three countries. This is going to be a fabulous trip, my first tour for 2020. We visit three fascinating West African countries. We have an excellent tour operator, a great price. Believe me, $3,850, almost $3,900, almost $4,000. But $4,000 for three countries. Wonderful cuisine, arts, and culture, plenty of shopping opportunities. And, of course, you're going to get Renoko Rashidi as your tour guide. He has an itinerary. If you want to check that out, you can go to drrenoko.com, 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 and click on Travel with Renoko. When you get to this website, Travel with Renoko, and you'll look at that page and you'll see the itinerary and everything about it. So that's a good price, brothers and sisters, $4,000, three countries, first-class travel and so forth. You know, if you want a room by yourself in addition to the $3,800, you can pay $680 and you'll have a room to yourself for the extent of the program. But it's just a beautiful trip. Beautiful trip. In fact, he's still got some more things and more places to go. He's going to Kemet in the Sudan in October. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. And then he's going to go to, well, it's the extent of the trip is Kemet and the Sudan. So from the 23rd of October to November 14th, you know. So it's going to be a great trip, man. So sometimes I just want to say, I want to go do that right quick. I just want to go do that. That's bottom line. Yeah. So I had to get that out there. Anything else I done forgot? Oh, and I would like to call the brothers and sisters from the weekend program of Inseroma Weekend Educational School and see how that went. talking with Brother Kabong and Sister Willis, Dr. Willis, give them a call and have them on the program. Have them on the program, you know. So before I get off into the boule, what it is and how it affects us, you know. Somebody just texted us, what I do over the weekend. I just explained what I did over the weekend. I was all over the place. I was Brother Gazende Jamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He had the Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival, Street Festival, this past weekend, and he had me be a part of it, and I was honored to be a part of it. I was the MC, and it was great to have all the people that came through, the acts and so forth. Very, very good. He had some good entertainments. It's, you know, we're beautiful people, man. We're talented people. I love Africans. I love that, too. In fact, the sisters, the group, they were asking people to come up and say something about, you know, and I was about to get up, but then they went to another song. But I was going to say, I'm African. Not because I was born in Africa, because I wasn't. I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. I'm African. I ain't black. I sure in the hell ain't no damn American. I'm African. Not because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. I've been reading this, and I'm going to read this right quick again because, this to me, this is vitally important, what Kwame Nkrumah had to say in the situation that we face. And that's why me discussing the boule is very important. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and a dedication to the goal of all humanity. The Freedom Speech, 1961. Kwame Nkrumah Sajefo. Kwame Nkrumah. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Kwame Nkrumah. As you see, that's what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do. And that is close ranks, pull resources, come together, and build for yourself. Be independent. Be self-determining. Be liberated. Be sovereign. That's why every Monday and Wednesday, that's all we will discuss on this program, because there is nothing else to discuss. And not that we engage in some dialogue about should we be. No. I'm not going to argue with us about should we be liberated or not, self-determined or not. It's crazy. I only want to discuss how can we do it. We may have some different agreements of how can we do it, but the bottom line that is we must do it. So this piece on the boule is a very deep piece. And it was sent to me. This piece comes out of LibertyWritersOfAfrica.com, LibertyWritersAfrica.com. And I don't see a date, but it's pretty recent. I'm going to do, this is a two-part. It's a two-part piece. Next week, Monday, I'm going to do it again. the Boule, a little bit more depth from an African perspective. Because the Boule, and for those who know, is a society within the African community made up of individuals who have attained certain positions within our community because of their association with, quote, Greek letter societies, and do the bidding of those who are in control. I was the president of African World Festival in Milwaukee. And unfortunately, some others took it and nothing was happening. In fact, nothing happened for quite a while. You know, as I say all the time, there was a few things that happened in Milwaukee that hastened my departure while I wanted to get out. That's definitely one of them. Aside really from the bottom line was the weather. But because there was nothing happening, Summerfest organization, which runs the festival grounds in Milwaukee, contacts some members within the American African community to put on a festival called Black Arts Fest, MKE. Of course, MKE is the abbreviation of Milwaukee. And when they did that, you know, we couldn't hardly get any money from corporate sponsorships. But the corporate, they had a virtual who's who of corporations in Milwaukee. And they weren't giving like they were used to give us, like two, three, probably the most we ever received was like $5,000. They were getting $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And so when you've seen the board of that, if you wanted to check it out, I think you can probably still go online and Black Arts Fest Milwaukee, MKE.com.org, I don't know, and check out the press conference announcing it last year, not this year's, but last year. And they showed a board of sponsors. I was taken back because on the board of the sponsors was one name that just like, whoa, really? And it was the Boule. And I always thought that in talking about it, I mean, listening to Steve Coakley, if you don't know who Steve Coakley is, you need to know who Steve Coakley is. He's an ancestor now. But if there's one person that you want to find out the function of the Boule and what it does, how it operates, who's involved, that's Steve Coakley. C-O-K-E-L-E-Y, Steve Coakley. And the individuals involved. Next week, I'm going to read from a different piece that I've seen on the internet that I'm definitely going to deal with next week. But I'm going to read the piece that was sent to me that sparked this. And you know me, I try to refrain from using words. When I see a word, I automatically change that word because I don't, you know, to me, people say words have meaning and, you know, and all that. Yeah, they do. Words cause a visualization. Words cause an image within your mind. That's why it's proper to use the correct words when dealing with us. That's why I'm adamant about us not using the word slave. And when I did that piece, Words Matter, last week, I think it was a week before last, one word that I think I mentioned it briefly, but I'll mention it right here again, and that is the word discipline. This society uses the word discipline when they mean punishment, but they understand that punishment has such a deep negative connotation. So they use the word discipline. It's wrong. The word discipline means self-imposed order. The word discipline means that you are a person, because I mean, if you have gone to a university or college or whatever, or higher learning, if you go to higher learning, what do they call the studies? That's right. They call them disciplines. Why? Because you, as a student, must be disciplined to go through the rigors of the studies for you to achieve whatever it is that you're supposed to achieve, a diploma or knowledge or whatever it is. Disciplines. They don't call them punishments. But if you lack discipline, self-imposed order, society will impose order on you, and they will punish you. They will imprison you. They will detain, they would whatever. So next time when you hear somebody say, oh, yes, they will be disciplined. No, they won't. They will be punished. Discipline, self-imposed order. And so when I see the word black, I automatically, because we're not black, they ain't white. They Caucasian, they Europeans, or any other adjective that you might want to use. But if you want to use white, that's fine. But let's say them for who they really are. We're not black. Black is a color. We're not black. We're African. We're Africans. And when you do it that way, just like American African, I maintain that Africa is the noun. There's a word that goes in front of Africa, which is a verb, which describes the noun. And so, we're here in America. We're American Africans. If I was in Jamaica, Jamaican African. Cuba, Cuban African. You get the picture, right? Brazilian African. Panamanian African. Ghanaian African. Nigerian, Cameroonian. You got the picture. Africa. I'm going to play this before I go to a break, because I'm going to go to a break pretty soon. Because what I'm talking about is the African secret societies founded to defend Caucasian extremism and to frustrate African aspirations and freedom and self-determination. The Boule. The Boule. If anyone ever talks about those who are traitors and so forth, or coons, you know. I mean, when I first hear that word coon, I think of Jesse Lee Peterson, and if you want to look up that foolish, ignorant individual who hates, I mean, he hates himself. He hates us. He loves Caucasians. Sad and pathetic. But here's others, and here's my boy Willie D. Hope you can get a, here's Willie D.
Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Tom. He take a Negro, Uncle Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up, publicize him, make him a celebrity.
Making nigga jokes while he in the room, he gon' laugh harder than you, cause he a coon. I'm a goon, top down, pants up when I walk. Never call a CEO or boss, I'm not a coon. Boom, it's the elephant in the room. Nah, that's a motherfucking coon. Black's been free since Lincoln got wasted, but some of these niggas still on the plantation. Listen up, Charles Barkley. You light-skinned, but they still calling you a darkie. The only reason that they put the mic in your face is so you can do they dirt and talk down on your race. TNT made you big, put you on a wig. Now you acting like you never had trouble with pigs. You kissed a man in the mouth for real dudes, that's a no-no. When you go come out the closet, you fucking homo. Saw you on television dressing in drag. What kind of dumb nigga say slavery wasn't that bad? This is San Antonio women, that's the kettle and pot. With that busted-up looking-ass wife you got. If your soul is not your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Bootlicker, shucking jive, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon, you a coon. If you're selling out your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Sailboat, dot slow, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon, you a coon. How to make
make a coon if you wish for a black one. Put some change in his pocket and give him a platform. Put him on suspension if he crossed that line. But if he's shitting on his people, give him more airtime. Stephen A. Smith, what's up with that hairline? Big mouth louder than four alpines. Got a chip on your shoulder cause your ball game sucks. And you gotta work with players that your wife wanna fuck. I'm a savage running through the field of muck. Raven Simone, shut your chicken head dumb ass up. White folks don't love you, black folks don't trust you. When you was on that show, Bill Cosby must have drugged you. I had to get you cause you're cooning for capital. You Hollywood niggas are laughable. You're not infallible like Cosby. When they use you up, they gon' throw your ass under the bus. If you're selling out your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Bootneck the shucking jive, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon, you a coon. If you're selling out your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Sales broke, die slow, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon, you a coon. Oh, hell, CNN is on. Check out this little bitch named Don Lamont. Get stuck in the butt, got your ass corrupted. You can smell weed, but you can't smell injustice. Selling your people out while the police murder them. I wish them protesters would have shot you in Ferguson. I wish there would have been Stacey Dash on the ground instead of Michael Brown, but with additional rounds. Heard you slept your way to the top, somebody lying. You a D-list actress, been divorced 3 times. Stank ass, they say you easy, plus you on Fox News. How you gonna talk about somebody else more than bad? They pop these clowns up to undermine the plight. Give them the spotlight and reducing the sound bites. Uncle Tom's dancing to the stereotypes. How you motherfucker sleep at night? If you're selling out your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Bootneck the shucking jive, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon, you a coon. If you're selling out your people, you a coon. If you hate your own kind, you a coon. Sales broke, die slow, you a coon. You a coon, you a coon. Coon. The supporters of coons love to talk about how they respect them because the coon has their own mind or they have their own opinions or they think outside of the box. That's a lie. The reason why they support the coon is because they can control the coon. Now, some people gonna have a problem with me calling these coons out. First thing they gonna say is crabs in the butt, crabs in the butt. Let me tell you something. This ain't got nothing to do with me trying to hold another black person back. I love to see black people getting it. You understand what I'm saying? But if your criticism of the black community outweigh your contribution to the black community, and you black, you're a motherfucking coon. If every time the police shoot somebody black and you take the police side, you are a coon. If you fix your mouth to say that we ended racism and discrimination in America like this old coon-ass nigga, David Clark, who called himself a sheriff in Milwaukee, you are a coon. If you are of any ethnicity other than white and you support Donald Trump, yes, you are a coon. If you out here ratting on the next man, cause he hustling, and y'all doing the same thing, you're not just a coon, you're a motherfucking rat coon. Now let me get back to this cross-dressing ass nigga Charles Barkley. Look here, nigga, you love to talk about how you'll slap somebody. I wish you would put your motherfucking hands on me. I'll body your fat ass, real talk. This nigga got a real self-hate issue. Fuck Charles Barkley and the ground he walk on. And if you fucking with Charles Barkley, fuck you too. Yeah, I said it. It's Willie D. H-Town. Fifth Ward. Dirty Dirt. Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where the coons at? Where the coons at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?
Woo! I'm telling you. And as I'm listening to the piece, and of course, I being from Milwaukee, I know Sheriff David Clark. I don't really know him like that. He knows who I am. I know who he is. I know what he's about. And he knows what I'm about. In fact, when I saw him up at our hall, we had a community meeting on one of the deaths. I think it was Brother Hamilton. I'm not sure which one of the brothers who got killed, because there's been many. But we had a piece up there, and he was sitting in the back with his cowboy hat on and flanked by another Caucasian who was with the sheriff's department, you know.
And then, of course, you know, he thought he was going to get a job in the Reagan administration. Reagan, damn Oshie. In the Trump administration. But particularly in Homeland Security, he got nothing. And then he wound up resigning because he was going to be sued for a couple of deaths that happened in the Milwaukee County Jail, which he was responsible for. So I hope that is the end of it. But as I'm talking about the Boulé, some would argue, well, they ain't coon. No, they are. The brother said, if you selling out your people, you a coon. If you believe more in Caucasians than you believe in ourselves, even though many people in the Boulé who you would not know are prominent individuals in the community, particularly in social justice, civil rights, and so forth. They ain't African-centered. They are not ones who advocate for independence, self-determination, liberation, sovereignty. They ain't that. They sellouts. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. I'm going to get off into this particular piece. Like I said, this is part one, and next week will be part two. And also remember, I got my dear brother and friend Renoko Rashidi this Wednesday. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
commercial happiness.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Jam, Larry Graham, Graham Central Station, The Jam. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program, African Perspectives, here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Tonight, this evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And right after that, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tomorrow, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, we vibe with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., revive with Sister POC. Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yes, sir, brothers and sisters. This is a deep subject. I know you know that. And it's one that we really need to look at and understand. There's so many things that impact us. That's why, to me, Brother Franklin Jones helping us understand the attack on the African mind on a constant basis is why we need to be talking about that. And we have leadership that needs to talk about that. Of course, we have misleadership. In fact, the leadership that I'm going to talk about that you see as leaders are co-opted by this secret society, the Illuminati, the Skull and Bones, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers, and all this other stuff that we need to purge ourselves from. Once again, the African Secret Society founded, the American African Secret Society founded to defend Caucasian extremism and to frustrate American African freedom. Over the course of our history as African people, we have had to deal with lots of hurdles, trials, attacks, betrayals, and backstabbing. And while much of this has come from the Caucasian race or the Caucasian people and other pale cultural groups, a good number of our injuries have been inflicted by our own. Now we must understand that it might be a hard pill to swallow for many American African people, but the truth remains that we have had our brethren betray us over economic gains and a place under the table of Caucasian extremism, a place for dogs. Back home in the motherland in Africa, we have stooges and puppets in power, African men and women who represent and protect the business interests of their European and European-American dogs. But we are not going to talk about that today. Today, we're going to try to reveal the practices of a group of American African men and women, mainly, who will do anything to stop the progress of our people based on directives of their Caucasian, I don't hate to call them, man, I don't want to call them masters, Caucasian directors. For a few slices of cake, a place under the table, as the brother said. They are the American African Greek secret societies called the Boule, and can be pronounced as Boule, the Boule. They were formed from a secret society called Skull and Bones, which was founded by Yale University in 1832. The secret society was originally founded by Dr. Henry McKee Minton. The Boule was founded by Dr. Henry McKee Minton, together with five other American African men. They were Drs. Eugene T. Henson, Dr. Edwin Clarence Howard, Dr. Algernon Bashir Jackson, Dr. Robert Jones Abley, and Dr. John Richard John Warwick. All of these men were from Philadelphia. These men were referred to as the Talented Tenth by Du Bois, William Edward Burghardt Du Bois, W.E.B. Du Bois, who was among the American African men who founded the New York City chapter of the Boule. And of course, Du Bois is not a new name to any brother or sister who has an understanding of our history. He's the founder of, in 1909, along with other Caucasians and European Jews, of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. He was one of those who were vocal about American African rights in America, but he was not being open about his motives. He was a major weapon used against the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey in his campaign for United Africa. The Caucasian extremists of America in 1918 saw that over 1 million followership to Marcus Garvey had, and they systematically deployed Du Bois to dismantle his movement. In his speech, Du Bois clearly stated that the major ambition of the Boule was to steal the American African professionals from the ranks of Garvey. Now, this means that the secret society was created, founded to work against the economic, political, and social and mental welfare of African people, both here in America and at home on the continent. And to do that, they had to do their best to persuade the American African professionals who followed the African emancipation, message of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, to stop following him. His affirmation to the goal of the Boule points annoyingly to the fact that some of our brightest elites in the American African community are used against the people. Most times they are not ashamed to speak boldly of their intentions or the job which they have been sent to do. To fully understand the impact of what Garvey was doing for Africans at home and abroad, this article of ours details the achievements and how his dream for a better Africa was cut short. Du Bois was the strongest opponent of Garvey, and he and Du Bois had the full backing of the Caucasian extremist corporations and secret societies who did not want to see Africa free. Garvey's plan was to convince and take as much Africans from the Americas, North and South and Central, and build a new buoyant resettlement in the African nation of Liberia. He had economic, social, and political plans for this African returnee to influence change and lead Africa into prosperity, away from the evils of captivity and colonialism. The new nation was to produce and control its own rubber crops. Since rubber was a major cash crop at that era, but rubber was just one of the natural resources that the new African nation was to use in building wealth for itself and its neighbors. In his statement, Garvey said that the following: if the oil of Africa is good for Rockefeller in his interests, iron is good for the Carnegie Trust and their interests, the Oppenheimers raping and stripping Africa of her natural resources of gold, silver, and diamonds, if you remember, along with Cecil Rhodes, was the Oppenheimers who were in control of diamonds, European Jews who controlled diamonds, the De Beers diamond mine. Then these minerals are good for us. Why should we allow Wall Street and the capitalist group of Americans and other countries to exploit our country when they refuse to give us a fair chance in the countries of our adoption? They refuse to give us a fair chance in Europe. They refuse to give us a fair chance in the Americas, in the Caribbean. Why should not Africa give to the world its African Rockefeller or Rothschild or Henry Ford. By the above statement, it was and is clear that Garvey was fighting for the innate rights of African people, and for Du Bois and the Boulay to fight him and his followers was in a direct attack on African freedom and liberty. On behalf of their Caucasian benefactors. If Garvey had succeeded, it then means that many of the foreign companies mining Africa's resources in Africa today would not have been there. If he had achieved his aim, he would have cut off the financial arm of Caucasian extremism at the point of its birth. In a public attack on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Du Bois, along with Lane Locke, called him a gorilla and a little fat black man, ugly with a big head. Lane Locke aggressively said that we hope the Caucasian man delivers because we crushed a great black thing. But we know he'll deliver. Our people will attack and pledge us forevermore. But we know he'll deliver, or our people. See, he's saying we know that the white man, the Caucasian, will deliver, or our people will attack and plague us forevermore. And that's what we have should have done. Now, Lane Locke was the first man to receive a scholarship in the name of Cecil Rhodes. That's tantamount to a European Jew receiving a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler. Let me say it again. Even though Locke was the first American African to receive a Rhodes Scholarship, that is the same as if a European Jew would receive a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler. And so he had to be loyal to his Caucasian benefactors. Cecil Rhodes was the first man who killed over 1 million Southern Africans and set up a diamond mining company in South Africa. You can read the article for details of how he murdered millions of African people. There's a link there. Or you can look up Cecil Rhodes. And of course, the spelling on Rhodes is R-H-O-D-E-S, Cecil Rhodes. Never forget that PBS documentary I watched on Cecil Rhodes. And I've been on that kick ever since. Today, there are over 5,000 American African members and 112 chapters of the Boulay Secret Society, all over the United States and the West Indies. This group is said to be among the wealthiest group of American Africans on earth. The meaning of the word Boulay helps us in fully defining these group of American African men and women as sellouts, cutthroats, and the worst type of dogs, steady seeking gratification from their Caucasian benefactors. Coons, when you sell your people out. Boule is a Greek word which means advisor of the king. Now, how do you think? And now, who do you think the king is? That king is Cecil Rhodes, the Rothschilds, the Secret Society, the Rockefeller Foundation, which they are sworn to protect. So basically, the Boule is doing the bidding of those above-mentioned corporations, which has stolen African resources and have maintained their evil grasp on the resources and destiny of African economies and politics. One other aspect of the Boule ideology, which is most annoying, is the fact that they preach that the Greek were the founders of civilization, when in truth and fact, it was the Greeks who traveled to Kemet and to Nubia to sit at the feet of African people, studied under the guidance of African scientists and teachers of Kemet. Every mathematician, philosopher, or scientist from Greece had their roots in Africa. But we have our brothers preaching Caucasian men's lives just because of what he stands to gain at the foot of the feeding table. The present day boule behavior in the American African community. Now, ever since the days of Garvey and Du Bois, we have seen how rich, we have seen how rich, popular, and influential American African men and women have been used to fight and cripple the agitations for equal rights, legacy, and reputation of the of a few fellow American African men and women. Jesse Jackson was a major black face used against Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan by Bill Clinton. It was not a hidden fight. After Farrakhan traveled to Africa to meet with African presidents and leaders, the corporations and Caucasian supremacist American government could not have him spreading his ideologies to the people in Africa. So they sent Jesse almost immediately to Africa to distract the American African, to distract the African leaders from what Farrakhan had to say. And while Jesse was at it, the American Caucasian House, the White House, placed calls to African leaders and threatened them by saying that if you receive Farrakhan, the U.S. government will not look highly upon you. Now you can imagine such desperation to shuttle and destroy the mission of Farrakhan. It was for African freedom and emancipation, and the masters of the boule would not have it. Although many of our people hold great sentiment and attractions to them, we believe that Obama is a member of the boule. We say this because of his role in eliminating and dismantling any hopes of Africa ever having a uniting behind one currency and one goal. Barack Obama, and if you listen to this program, you've heard me say this many times, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are responsible for the death and murder of Muammar Gaddafi. His blood is on their hands. He killed Gaddafi and planted chaos in Libya. Look at Libya today. If we recall Gaddafi, before his death, was pushing for United States of Africa, like many other leaders previous to him, who were either deposed, exiled, murdered, discredited, whatever, because they understood the importance of Africa being one. If we recall, Gaddafi, before his death, was pushing for United States of Africa, which would be backed by a gold currency, now that it was a direct threat to the Rothschild banking, which owns the financial systems of the world, and it would not have it. If Obama was not boule, why would he support the downfall of Africa when he was an African, when he had African blood? Oprah was used in destroying the legacy of Michael Jackson, even after his death. She, of all people, should have known the importance of Michael Jackson's image and legacy to our community. But she took sides with the benefactors and dealt a huge blow to his legacy and name. Many have also fingered Jay-Z to be a boule mason who was used by Caucasian extremists to damage and agitate for the campaign of Colin Kaepernick, who has been at war with the NFL for some years now. Many of our people would actually disagree with this, but we owe it to our people to call these things out and to allow them to decide who has been on the side of our people and who has sold the people out. The list is actually a lot longer, but we will not go further since we might not finish this article. Just like we have the boule today, we also have accounts of American African people with belonging to the, yes, we do have some American African people who belong to the Ku Klux Klan. No matter how absurd these things sound, we have seen American African men and women openly betray their people in the interest of Caucasian extremists, and we have no doubt in our minds that they have been paid handsomely to do so. The boule. like I said, we're going to a more extensive article I'm going to read next week. Please join me on this conversation if you have something to contribute. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let's talk about this. What do you have to say? And if there is something else that you want to discuss, bring that to the fore. But the reality is, because we have been trained to be self-hating, we have been trained to look at ourselves, and if some of us are light-skinned with good hair, we are promoted to be better. We're promoted to be more acceptable. We have made brothers and sisters who have dark skin and close curled hair and who look more African by the light skinned individuals who look more Caucasian to be more. Well, of course, if you were in a Caucasian society, Caucasian would love to create that buffer group. And for these Negroes to hold the other Africans who have the will and aspirations to be independent, to be self-determining, to be liberated, and to be sovereign, to hold them down or disrupt them or to infiltrate them. See, I understand, and I know that members of the Boule, I know that members of our community who freely do this, but understand something. It is something that they have grown up in. It is something that has been promoted within European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege to be as a model for groups that are not Caucasian to try to emulate, to try to integrate into. See, we don't want, you know, when you understand that Marcus Garvey could have amassed the amount of people that he did at the time that he did it without social media. In fact, even though the telephone was available, but it was not readily available to everybody, particularly to our people. So telephone wasn't even an issue. Because right now I can call some people, call another person and so forth, conference calling and all of that stuff. No, that was not happening. The main thing that Marcus Garvey used was the African World newspaper or the Negro World newspaper at the time. That was the main thing that he used. And even though there are recordings of Marcus Garvey, it wasn't at the time. There was no record, vinyl record, with Marcus Garvey on it that people bought at the record store and they had a record player. So when you understand that none of those things were available, yet he was able to amass a meeting, yet he called a conference to deal with the UNIA and the formation of the UNIA in 1921, that over 25,000 people, the numbers are skewed, I don't know, but let me just say this. We can't even get 2,000, hell, 200 people to come to a meeting to discuss the ideas and the situation that are affecting African people. See, we don't understand what we're living in. We don't understand how we are affected. If it's a very small group of people. In fact, in human development, the late late developers of human beings, Europeans, Caucasians, came on the scene, and how they developed caused them to have such a selfish and greedy mindset, very sexist, very racist. And they imposed that on the world. Dr. John G. Jackson, in a presentation I heard on the internet, made two good points. He said, twice we educated Europeans. And after educating them, they came back to destroy us or colonize us. First time, sitting at the feet of African people. The article I just read to you saying, and that many people, and I, like I said, a good friend of mine, I know he's, that we couldn't have that conversation today because we both know different. But at the time we had that conversation, early 70s, whatever, you know, believing that the Greeks, man, what a great civilization. The Greeks, oh, man, all the things that they did. Oh, man, what a great people. Not understanding that they sat at the feet of African people. And so then when Greece finally really took off, it's because they had the knowledge that we once possessed. And so there was a thinking how great the Greeks are. And so then when Caucasians who use Greece as their foundation, and when they disseminated information about the world, their foundation was Greece. Their foundation was Greece. This is the greatest civilization. They brought theology and they did this. They did that. They're the fathers of philosophy. They're the fathers of medicine. They're the fathers and no mothers, no mothers. They're the fathers. They're the fathers of homosexuality. In Greece at that time, you could get statues. You could get statues of Greek men engaging in pedophilia with young boys. That's why we should not use the word mentor or mentorship. In the Greek story of the Odyssey, by Homer, he talks about Ulysses or Odysseus giving his son over to mentor. And of course, what mentor did to his son. He abused his son. He molested his son. We should use Jekna or Jeknot, plural. But there's that belief that the Greek system was so great. So then what? The Caucasians developed Greek society because of that first time we taught them. The second time, after the decline of Rome and Greece and all of that, Europe went into a medieval or dark age. The only learning that was happening in Europe was in the western part of Europe, which is now Spain and Portugal. And who was providing that were the Moors, melanated men and women who had embraced Islam and taught them many things for hundreds of years, 700 years. Look at the record. 1492 is a huge year for Caucasians, for Europeans. Because not only did 1492 was Columbus commissioned by Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand to find, really, let's be real, he did, it wasn't, he was supposed to go around the Horn of Africa into India to get spices. But of course, he got caught up in the currents that sweep westerly, just like those hurricanes coming off the coast of Africa, sweeping westerly. And he sailed into what is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic. They call it Hispaniola. We taught them again. And they kicked the Moors out of Spain. Charlemagne and Martel, whoever, all them folks. They kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain. And then the European took off. And what helped the Europeans facilitate his rise? The development of weaponry, superior weaponry. If you listen to this program, you'll hear me say it all the time. One thing that the European has done, found a better way to kill your ass. And now the sophistication of how they can kill you is unbelievable. Unbelievable. We got some callers. Let me take a call. Caller 602. Caller 602.
My brother.
How you doing, dear brother Marcus? How are you this weekend?
I'm doing great, good brother. Where you get that article? Where you saw that article? Because I want to get that article.
You
want to
get that article? Ah, ha, ha, ha. Where did I get it from? It appeared. Now, next week, I'm going to read from an article I got online on secret societies and the Boule. It's more extensive. So if you want to get that article, it shows you the pictures of the individuals. Go online, search the Boule.
Okay.
And then
spell Boule.
They spell it B-O-U-L. Excuse me, B-O-U-L-E. B-O-U-L-E. Pronounced Boo and Lay. Boule. And this article that I'm going to read next week is from... December 2013. Now, the article I just read to you, this comes from LibertyWritersAfrica.com. LibertyWritersAfrica.com. And I would suggest that you just put in the title. Maybe that might be it, because I was searching for a date for it. But LibertyWritersAfrica.com. Secret society founded to defend white supremacy and frustrate black freedom.
All right. Thank you so much. I'll just mute my phone and continue listening. All right.
All right, dear brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so when you understand that this system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege being the global phenomenon. We have another caller, 404-404. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshi, can you hear me?
I sure can. How you doing, Queen?
I'm wonderful. I'm fine.
Good.
I'm in the diaspora, so you know how that feels.
Yeah.
So we won't be free until all of our people are free. But I wanted to talk to you and to our hotel, to all our beautiful African people out there and all over the world. Hotep to you from Queens.
Ashe.
And Brother Oshi and Africans all over the diaspora and on the homeland. But I just wanted to say what a beautiful weekend that you had and shared.
Yes,
with us.
Yes, I did. I really did, yes. Queen. I tell you, I was moved. I was very humbled by Brother Kazim Dejamu asking me to host or be the MC for the festival, the Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival. Great turnout. Not really, really great. But there were people there. There were people vending and people buying and the four food establishments that are on Main Street in Lithonia. I hope they did well. And it was just a good day. Great entertainment he had. Beautiful people and beautiful brothers and sisters, you know. So that was great. And then I tried to go down to the West End, but it started raining. And it rained hard. Came down pretty hard because right over there by the shrine, in fact, not a couple blocks from the shrine. In fact, it was Willie A. Watkins' funeral home. That was
great, brother.
Yeah, Willie A. Watkins Funeral Home, because there's a park right across the street from there, and they utilized that to close the street off, had the stage there. It was cold. I wish it hadn't done that, because they had some good entertainment that was coming up, you know. And then yesterday, the WADU, the World African Diaspora Union, had their banquet, in which I was a guest speaker. And I was very proud to be, you know, at for a WADU. And then after that, I went by my cousin's house, who had a birthday. And you know, so I went by
happy
my cousin.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, you know. In fact, what was ironic was my cousin had called me thanking me for taking them to lunch. Her and my two other cousins, they're elders. They're elders. And they said a lot of people don't want to be with, well, I'm elderly too, and they're a little older than me. In fact, one of my cousins is 92 years old.
Oh, you know, beautiful.
Yes, it is. She gets around very well. I mean, it's fantastic, you know, and it shows how beautiful the situation was. As we were sitting in the restaurant, a pastor and a person that one of my cousins worked for, she saw him, waved, and he came by the table, and he gave my eldest cousin some money just for being, you know. And then, surprisingly, he bought our lunch.
He paid for the lunch. I knew that was coming.
Yep, he paid for our lunch. And I just, that's right. And I just paid the tip. And I was like, very humble. And he says, a beautiful man. So that was a beautiful day. And I love my family. I love being with my family. I wish, you know, sometimes, Queen, when you are into family, because that is the foundation of any society, is family. I always say that reason why we don't have good family life is because we don't have good community life. Or no, really, we don't have good family life, so we don't have good community life, because it begins with the family. And the problem, of course, is this society has always wanted to disrupt and divide our family, because they know that a strong family foundation can lead to great things for our people. And so I always try to, you know, bring our family together. And I wish that I had talked to particularly two family members that are ancestors now, because they had a lot of the knowledge of my family. See, my family's from here. My family's from Georgia. But we migrated at the turn of the last century. My mother was born in Milwaukee. Her brothers and sisters were born in Milwaukee. You know, my mother was born in Milwaukee in 1926. You know, and so, yeah. And so, you know, that's why some of those family members are coming back. You know, you're coming back to
where. Yes, back to our roots.
Yeah.
Back to
right.
A little story that I have. I'm from up top, and I ain't going to say where just yet, but you know. And 215. And, you know, my mother and father migrated up there. And all growing up, I was just looking at her and looking and saying, well, I don't see nobody that look like me. Nobody. So when I got of age, I went back to my mother's hometown.
Where's that at?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, Greenville. Okay, okay.
And I met my village, and everyone there looked, my mother looked like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so at home and so rescued.
Mm-hmm.
As to, yes, and so safe and warm and welcome, because I found my people, and I people looked like me and blood. And it was a beautiful thing. It's really a beautiful experience when you see people that look like you and you know where you come from. But you do have an elder, a 92-year-old sister that you can tap into now.
Yeah. But see, her husband was one of the ones who really had an understanding of her. She married into the family. He had a real understanding of our family's history and our beginnings from the migration period up to Milwaukee, particularly to Chicago, because more of our people are in Chicago and some in Detroit and so forth. They had a real understanding, and I just unfortunately missed that, you know.
No, you haven't. Yeah. It's there. Baba Oshie, let me just say this. every time that I listen to you, I learn something. No one can, you're not that wealth of rich. You're not that rich just for the sake of you being enlightened and rich. Every time you speak to anyone, anywhere, we learn something. And don't leave that void. If you go back and talk to people in Chicago, Milwaukee, somebody has drawn off of the richness that your ancestor, your uncle, garnered. Mm-hmm. It's there. So don't leave that void. I know I won't. But I just wanted to say Hotep to you, brother, right, and to the beautiful African family out there. Mm-hmm. And we got work to do. And every time I hear you, I am enriched, and so are all others that listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that, dear. I thank you for spreading the word and getting others to listen as well. I hope that you continue to do so. You have a blessed day, Queen. And I know we'll talk soon.
We'll talk soon,
okay? All right, dear.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Queen. I really do. On the website that I'm going to be reading from on Monday, on part two of the Boule, there's a whole litany of links, you know, and this website is the Secret Society, the Boule, you know, and put that in and come to the, hope you can get this website. Because it is it gives you the 13 bloodlines of the Boule, the Bilderberger Group, the Club of Rome, the Committee of 300, the Council on Foreign Relations. These are some of the things that even Brother Franklin Jones discussed. The Federal Reserve, who they are, the Illuminati, the Knights of Malta, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family, the skull and bones, the skull and crossbones. The Round Table, the Trilateral Commission, all of these societies, I mean, they ain't no secret. You know, they do clandestine things, but they are fronting about what they're doing. And what they're doing is to maintain and sustain the privilege that they have created. And anybody who tries to do anything to disrupt that, you know, the Europeans got this Negroes and its minions to come out there to challenge that. But also, too, you know, they'll send a drone. I'm serious. You know, I'm not afraid. I could care less. At this juncture of our people's history, I have no fear. I have no fear, you know, in what I say or how I say it or who I say it to. I don't whisper. Like when I was in the airport talking with a brother from New York, well, he actually was from the islands. And I'm talking about the 9/11, because he was in shock as I was talking about 9/11, because he just couldn't believe that. And then a Caucasian, excuse me, maybe you shouldn't talk about that. Well, let me tell you this, man. I'm talking about something that's true. You have a right to listen or not. If it offends you, too bad. You know, if it offends you too bad, if you don't feel, well, people might be afraid of because of you're talking about planes being. No, I'm talking about what I'm talking about, because he was right behind me. The brother was ahead of me. You know how it is in the security. You got to be single file as you serpentine through there to get to the people who are going to check your credentials and your ticket. You know, and so he was right behind me, him and his wife or some other lady, I don't know. And I said, hey, just turn your head, because I turned mine when I said it. Psh. Because, you know, and then that brother, we were going to the same terminal, but we came down and sat because I was real early and so was he to some degree. And I gave him where to look for stuff in that area, you know. Because, like I said, just recently, a few weeks ago, actually really it was last week, it was announced that the 9/11 situation is going to be seriously challenged. So I anticipate, well, we'll see, but I try to anticipate that lawsuits will be made public in the next year or two about what happened on that dreadful day when the United States government bombed and killed its own people. When the United States government blew up buildings and imploded buildings and sent missiles into buildings. As a huge false flag, as that term goes. So I'm not afraid. And I know that we don't control the internet. We're on TuneIn, which is a radio app. And so if TuneIn wants to single out my program as opposed to Time for an Awakening, but my program specifically because of what I'm talking about, that could happen. Or it could happen to Brother Elliot. Or it could happen to Scotty Reed. We don't own this. Scotty Reed gets a piece. He gets a piece of TuneIn.com. He has to broadcast 24/7, 365. He pays for that. Brother Elliot, ambitious as well, he pays Scotty Reed to broadcast 24/7, 365. So if you go on Time for an Awakening, Time for an Awakening Media, you'll see it's constant. Just previously programmed, previously recorded programs constantly. I'm trying to see if he can get some of my on there. I think, you got to go get mine. But I'm just saying he has a stream that he's constantly playing them. And you can throw mine one every two or three times in there. I don't know. I don't care, really. But my point being is that I got 6 hours, 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, and 2 hours on Friday that I pay for. And I know that people in my good friend, Brother Kwaku said we ought to have folks pay for some advertisement, and announcements that I make. I could definitely get some change, some coinage, because even Renoko asked me, what could I do to pay? I said, hey, man, listen, I'm going to announce it. When you be here on Wednesday, we'll discuss it. But I'm not here on this radio to make money. Listen, brothers and sisters, my time is up. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shimhotep means go in peace. Esanti Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodia. Abibi Vahodia means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.
Abibi Vahodia. Peace, family.
All right, Sister Queen. Thank you, dear. Peace.
My pleasure. Peace.